It's January 6th, 2019. Happy New Year. And also, the Epiphany of Our Lord. Today we're going to hear from Pastor Arne Berglund preach on Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. Before we begin, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. People of God, children of the light, abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours through Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Some 500 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote a poem that we read this morning as we read our first lesson. The poem was addressed to God's people, a people who had been in exile in Iraq for several generations. When the people of Israel returned to their homeland, they discovered that Jerusalem had been bombed out and they were in despair. After all, who wants to live in a city where the towers are torn down and the economy has failed, nothing is working, and no one knows what to do about it? Well, in the middle of that mess, Isaiah invites his depressed, discouraged, and contemporaries to look up, to hope, and to expect that everything will change. "Rise. Shine, you people, your light has come." Isaiah addresses the people of Israel and anticipates that Jerusalem will somehow turn it around and prosper. Nations will come to light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You will be covered by camels. Now that doesn't sound so good, does it? Covered by camels. What he was talking about was that all the goods and services of the time came, much as the railroad would come to Montana, bringing with it prosperity as goods traveled back and forth. This is cause for celebration. Isaiah was promising that things would get better. God was promising to make that city work again in peace and in prosperity. Well, Isaiah's words of comfort are echoed today as we remember this story of the wise men, the magi who visited the Christ child. And like Matthew reflects in the gospel, the wise men knew about Isaiah's poem. They knew that they should go to Jerusalem and take spices, gold, silver, frankincense, and myrrh. But most importantly, they knew that they would find there the new king of all peace and all prosperity. But when Herod, who was the current king at the time, heard of those plans, he was frightened, he was threatened. Now this story takes an interesting twist. In a bit of a panic, Herod arranges a consultation with the leading biblical scholars of the day, and he says, "You need to help me out. Tell me about this Isaiah 60 business. What's all this business about camels and gold and frankincense and myrrh?" And his scholars told him, "Well, you have the wrong passage. You have the wrong text. These wise men are using the wrong text. Isaiah 60 will mislead you because it suggests that Jerusalem and the Israelites will prosper and have great wealth and power and be restored as the center of a global economy. And in that scenario, the 1%, the urban elites, can recover their former power, their prestige, and things will be like they once were." But Herod isn't satisfied with their answer. He says, "Well, if that's not true, do you have a better passage for me to look to?" And because the scholars were afraid of Herod's wrath, they tell him that the right text is really in Micah chapter 5, where it says this, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is of old." This is the voice of a peasant hope for the future, a voice that is not impressed with high towers and great arenas and urban achievements. It anticipates a different kind of future, as yet unaccomplished. Mike anticipates a leader who will bring well-being to all people, not by some grand political ambition, but by attentiveness to the folks on the ground, attentiveness to all people, to justice and peace and truth. Well, Herod lets the wise men in on the secret, and the rest of the story is fairly plain. The wise men head off to Bethlehem, a rather rural small town, dusty, unnoticed, unpretentious. However, it is the right location for the birth of the one who will offer an alternative hope, an alternative promise. This is the story of the first epiphany. We'll talk about more epiphanies in the weeks to come. This is the story of the epiphany of two human communities, Jerusalem on the one hand with its great pretensions and Bethlehem on the other with modest promises. We can choose between a return to what was once, triumph and power, self-sufficiency for those that have the means to do that, or we can choose the alternative that comes in innocence and a hope that confounds our usual expectations of what a Messiah might be like. We can receive life given in the vulnerability of a child born of God with us, Emmanuel. The true accent of the epiphany is that the wise men don't resist this alternative, but they go to Bethlehem. They turn around their expectations and their lives, and they do it for a baby that has no credentials. Now, the town of Bethlehem is 9 miles south of Jerusalem, a fairly decent hike. The wise men were wise, but they kind of blew the call on this one. They missed their goal by that 9 miles. And we could well wonder what might have happened if they hadn't heard the story of Micah 2. I think our task here, as we live out our faith, is to let the vulnerability that we find in Micah 2 disrupt the self-congratulation and triumphalism of Isaiah 60. We kind of got to ask ourselves, are we like the wise men looking in the wrong place? Are we off by those 9 miles? This story invites us to travel those miles away from a love of security and a drive for power. It's a time for us to take that journey and be reminded that certain hope is not in power or wealth or security, but rather it's found in the vulnerability of this Christ child, generous, neighborly, concerned for all people, a modest future with spears turned into pruning hooks and swords turned into plowshares, a concern for the forgotten, the left behind, a hope for those who have no hope, a home for those who have no home. Epiphany is a sudden break with the truth that the wise men thought they knew, because the birth of Christ is a breakthrough in history. It is light in our darkness. And if that is true, if that's what we hold on to from the birth of Christ, if that's what we consider to be most sacred to our faith, then it means that God's way makes a difference, not only in some future life, but it makes a difference here and now. As we look to a God who asks us to follow this Christ child, it's an opportunity for all of us to begin again, to be born again, to be transformed. First of ourselves, and then as instruments of transformation in a world that needs to know this story. This church, the baptized people of God, is brought together by the gift of faith through the Holy Spirit, brought together to proclaim and to follow God's crucified Messiah. As the gathering of children, youth, men, and women who hear and believe and are transformed and receive the living Christ in words and sacrament, we witness in word and deed to Jesus as Lord and Savior. The proclamation of the gospel is the good news of God's salvation given in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, distinguishes the church from other communities. This gospel liberates us from sin, death, and evil, and motivates the church to care for the world in which it lives. The witness of this church flows from its identity as a community that lives from and for the gospel, from and for the world in which it lives. It is active in love, a love that calls for justice and in our relationships with one another and in the structures of our cultures. It's in grateful response to God's love that sets us free, God's grace in Jesus Christ, that this church can carry out the responsibility, the calling for the well-being of the world in which we live. You see, it's not just some past story that is important, and it isn't just some future hope that we might hold on to. Because we live in this present hope of a God who comes to us, who is for us, who sets us free. We live in the light, in the here and now, by the way that we respond in faithfulness to live lives of peace and grace and love. We're called here and now, not in Jerusalem, but to Bethlehem, called to this vulnerable child who leads us to humble servants and love of neighbor. In the here and now, today and tomorrow, we are called to live as if this epiphany makes a difference. This epiphany is the sacred story that we hold on to. Knowing that it does make a difference leads us to learn to love and not hate, to hope and not fear, to live lives of justice and grace and mercy, and bear this good news of this vulnerable child born, that God can be with us and that we can be set free by God's love and grace. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.